I think one of the most fearful thoughts and moments in my life was holding a newborn baby and thinking, you know, as a Christian, thinking you have about 18 years to help this child establish their footing, in particular their spiritual footing, and then hopefully they fly in the direction that you have prayerfully desired all of that time. Now, there are a lot of fearful moments in life, but for the Christian parent, that has to be at least a very sobering moment. And then when they get their high school diploma, when they finish their primary education, the question is, will they be grounded? Will you have been able to instill in them the things that are going to help them in this life? And what can you do now as a parent? Maybe you have not thought about that. You know, maybe they're a little older now, and maybe it's the case that you haven't thought about that. Maybe it's the case that you have a very young child, a newborn even. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about your responsibility and your duty as a parent to get them pointed in the right direction? How do you do that? This lesson this morning is primarily for new parents. In fact, I've entitled the lesson, Three Recommendations for New Parents. But it's not just for new parents. It is instruction and guidance rooted and grounded in the Bible that would be helpful to all of us. But I have gone about this lesson in a way that is not typical for me. It's more, I would say, of a practical way, an unorthodox way, really, for me, of gathering the things that I wanted to present for our help this morning. And so it was in my mind to do a survey for this lesson. And so what I did was I kind of went back in my mind to different places where we have lived and different people that we have encountered who were faithful Christians, where faithful Christians were, who had children that had grown up to be faithful Christians and who were old enough to have had opportunity and time to reflect on their upbringing. And I didn't target the parents in this, I targeted the children. And I asked four questions of the children that I surveyed in preparation for this lesson. These are the questions just as we get started. During your at-home years, were your parents Christians? And I knew what I knew about their parents, but I wanted what the kids would say. And 100% of this dozen responses that I got back said yes, their parents were Christians. Number two, I attribute my Christian faithfulness in large measure to my parental influence. 100% of the kids that, and mind you, these are people now from age 20 to 50, just a wide swath variety of people. 100% of them said yes, their faithful Christian parents largely influenced them in their Christian position and place now. Number three, what one thing did your parents do relative to your nurturing and upbringing that had the most positive impact on your faithfulness as a Christian? And I got responses that will be incorporated into the lesson this morning. And then number four, what do you think would have made your nurturing environment even better? from these same people and got responses from them accordingly. Based on the feedback that I got, I wanted to take the feedback and marry it with what the Bible says and just see if they met and where they met. I had an idea about where they would meet, but the responses were even more overwhelming and even more validating to what I thought. And so what I've done is made 3 points, 3 recommendations for parents based upon the feedback that I got. And I'll share some of that feedback firsthand directly from these individuals as we go through the lesson. So let's begin. Here is the first recommendation for new parents. Number one, establish the importance of service, worship service, attendance, and participation. This is the feedback directly from these individuals. We'll notice that, and then we'll look at the biblical principle that substantiates what they have said. This one person said of their parents, they demonstrated the importance of worship in church by not allowing other activities to even occasionally take us away from worship service or church gatherings. I only recall a few times it did happen, and they apologized to us for it afterwards, saying that they made the wrong decision. A second one said, taking me to worship service every Sunday and Wednesday unless I was sick, they went to extensive lengths to find scriptural congregations to worship at when we were on vacations, even. Thirdly, we were taught never to miss a service for any reason. It was always the number one priority. I don't recall my dad ever missing for anything. Even during farming season, we would shut down for church service times. And then one other, consistently going to worship every week, even when on vacation, was a big one. Seeing my parents lead to serve as teachers and worship leaders and even group Bible studies in our home at times. And so you would think that when you go to God's Word and you look for things that you would want to instill in your children to show them the importance of the Christian life, that actively and faithfully worshiping God and being involved with the local congregation that Jesus purchased with his own blood would be an important one. And based on the feedback from faithful Christians reared by faithful parents, this is something that they recall very vividly as being something that influenced them to be faithful. When we look at the Bible, we see the idea, obviously, of the church. I mean, the whole Bible is centered on God's plan and purpose to build the church. And for that to be the vehicle of salvation, the vehicle through which all spiritual blessings would be realized, and that those who would commit their lives to the safekeeping of God through obedience to the gospel would be saved. We see the idea of the local congregation throughout the New Testament. In fact, thinking of Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, Paul speaks of Priscilla and Aquila, faithful servants and companions of his, and the church that is in their house. And you see that idea commonly in the New Testament epistles, the idea of groups of Christians being together as a congregation, worshiping, serving, and working together. And that need has not changed today. Just as we are assembled in this place, we are a local congregation, a geographic part of the body of Christ. And we are, in this building, a body of sorts. And we are made up of members that work together and influence one another for good. Hopefully, just good. Although we can influence one another for bad. But we are a body working together, and the importance of our being here to serve in that function is extremely important and emphasized. I think of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, where Paul speaks of the whole body being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's important that we understand our place in this group of people. And it's important that our children grow up understanding that you are an important and essential part of this group of people. We don't come to this place on Sunday just because this is what your mother and I or your father and I like to do. This is not just something that is appealing to us. We have a connection with this place. We have a connection with these people because we are one body. So participation in and being part of the local congregation is seen as extremely important, not just in this feedback, but in biblical teaching as well. Faithful attendance, is essential. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Let us consider one another to provoke and unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So faithful attendance, we are admonished to be faithful in our attendance and to watch out for one another and to ensure that we're not slipping. And it's important for our children to see that from the very early years. You know, there is never going to be a time as a parent, and especially as a Christian parent, where you can, like, go over to the wall and flip the switch and say, okay, now we're going to start spiritually training our children. That point will never come, I promise you. You have to start immediately and do it at an appropriate level for their age. I mean, immediately. And so that way they learn that this is part of who we are at their age level and at their ability to know and to understand what you are doing or what we are doing. Don't wait and say, well, when they're 12, I'm going to start focusing on them spiritually. You missed it if you do that. We missed it if we wait to a time where we can flip a switch, especially with regard to attendance. If you let them for 16 years do what they want to do relative to attendance, and then at 17 you say, okay, now we need to focus on being regular and faithful in our worship attendance, that's just not going to work. It's not going to work. So we have to start very early. As these individuals who were a testament to their upbringing have said about the importance of the church that was instilled in them and the importance of attending worship service, even to the point of being on vacation. You know, a time when you take a break from things of this life. It shouldn't be the habit of our families to take a break from the Lord on vacation. And I think of just at least in principle math passages like Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and others where we're to seek the kingdom first in every aspect of our life. And so establish the importance of service attendance and participation is an absolute must when we look at the Word of God and we can validate it with feedback from those who had been reared in homes where they were taught about the importance of these things. And that has stuck with them. And they continue to think of those important matters as essential. Number two, in addition to establishing the importance of service attendance and participation, number two is establish regular home study and Bible discussions. I had an idea about this, but was really overwhelmed by their responses. Just listen to them. These are the positives. The first one, regular Bible studies in the evenings. One young person said, when I look back and reflect on my nurturing, spiritual nurturing in my home, the thing that I remember that had the most impact on me and where I am today was regular Bible studies in the evenings. Now, the rest of these responses come from kids, children, who are faithful children, brought up by faithful parents. But when I ask the question, what one thing could have been done to make your spiritual nurturing and upbringing even better? This is what those kids raised in those homes said. Regular family Bible discussions, studies, and devotionals. More of them. Here's one. I wish my parents would have begun weekly Bible studies with my brother and I. I think that would have been very beneficial for them to help us develop our biblical study habits on a more personal level. Listen to some of the descriptive words in what they say. More personal. Here's another. To have regular family Bible studies and talk openly as a family about difficult topics. To talk openly. Discussion. Another. A more open environment when it comes to discussing biblical things. And more Bible study as a family unit. Here's another. More family Bible study. I truly appreciate the time we spent looking at those teachable moments and the discussions we had about certain verses or Bible class topics. But there's just something about sitting around the table with all of the Bibles open, soaking in God's Word. More of that could have made the environment even better than it was. And then a couple of more. Daily Bible studies. We did them sometimes as a family, but not consistently. And then finally, more formal Bible studies. What do faithful individuals who were reared in as best you could tell, faithful homes, what do they say would have helped even more with their spiritual upbringing? Sitting down, opening the Bible, studying it together, and having opportunity to discuss things that they may be facing in life at appropriate levels. Well, is that feedback consistent with biblical principle when we look at the Word of God? If we were going to try to advise parents in a way that would help them rear their children in a very spiritual way, is that a piece of advice that we would give? Yes, it certainly is. Establish regular home study and Bible discussion. And I emphasize the word home this morning, because and you just look at your attendance pattern for a moment. Let's be our own judges today. Maybe you are a person who is regular in your attendance. We've already seen how important that is in the life and upbringing of a faithful child, and that's great. maybe just worship services, maybe Sunday morning, maybe also Sunday evening, but not Bible classes. I'd encourage you to include the Bible classes, because some of the best study and opportunity to open your Bible, much different than preaching, where usually I'm cramped for time, and so I'm just trying to give you as much as I can in that time slot. in the Bible class, you actually open your Bible even more and can engage in discussion about those things. And so if you don't attend the Bible classes, you deprive yourself of that opportunity and ability, and you deprive your children of the opportunity and the ability to do that as well. Maybe you're even more sporadic in your attendance to worship services, and it hasn't been your practice to be consistent in any way with regard to that. Well, you're just robbing yourself of so many opportunities to do the thing that is going to help you the most, and that is to be saturated with in mind and to soak up the Word of God, but your children as well. You're depriving them of those opportunities. Now, that's just the public environment, the public attendance to worship in Bible class. But what about the home? Are there opportunities in your home, or as a young parent, are you thinking ahead right now to have some kind of consistency in opportunities to sit down with your kids and let them talk about questions that they have, to teach and to guide, and then be ready and able to receive their feedback and to discuss with them? And most importantly, to open this and say, this is where the answers come from, and here they are. What I'm trying to get us to see is, when you just go out and you pick home environments that look like they were well-established, faithful home environments, faithful to God, and you see the kids who have come out of that environment, who have launched well in their spiritual direction and who are serving God faithfully now, when you ask them what could have been done more to help you in their nurturing, almost 100% of the people that I looked at said, more home Bible study. Even they see that they didn't get as much as they would like to have had and as much as they possibly could. So if we're not doing it at all, if we're not, and there are many different ways to do it, to use the opportunity in the home. There are many different ways, and I'm not suggesting that there's one right way. Maybe you have a formal time every day that you sit down and you study with them. Or at one of the meals that you share together, you end it with opportunity to open the Bible and to discuss. Or if you just make sure as a parent that there are opportunities in the home environment where you open the door to those discussions and lead your kids into discussions about these things. However you do it, evidently we're not doing enough of it. And we need to do more of it. And if we're not doing anything like that, then we're way behind. And as a new parent, a parent of newborns, you need to be thinking about how you're going to do that and how you're going to open that door and that opportunity, because it is essential and vitally important. Moses said to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21, just listen to a summation of what he says there. He says, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You see, it has to begin with us as Christian parents. He says, bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. Teach them to your children in the house, in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Write it on the doorpost of the house and the gates. Every opportunity is a potential teaching opportunity. It doesn't have to be, a rigorous set schedule. But our homes ought to be Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is taught and loved. Homes where God is exalted all of the time. Not just an hour on Sunday before it's time to go to services or anything like that. We need to saturate our homes with Bible teaching and opportunities to study together and to grow. We need to look into the Bible, not just... Let me rephrase this. Our children don't need to grow up in an environment where it's just what we say because the Bible says so. We need to try to create environments where they can see that the Bible says so. And I think of Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 of the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness in mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to make sure that these things were so. And so opening the Bible, not just, I would caution us against just telling our kids, well, this is what we do because that's what the Bible says. That's true and that's right. But let's show them. And let's let them see with their own eyes. And so they can appreciate why they do what they do, because they've seen with their eyes that that's what the Bible says. The story is told of a lady who was in the kitchen one day cooking a roast. And she had it laid on the counter, and her husband was standing nearby, and she chopped off both ends of the roast and she put it in the crock pot. And he loved her roast, but he asked her, he said, "Honey, why do you cut off both ends of the roast before you put it in the crock pot?" And she thought, she said, "Well, I grew up watching my mom cook roast, and this is how she cooks it. So, you know, tell you the truth, I don't know." So next time she was with her mom, she asked her mom, she said, "Mom, why do we cut off both ends of the roast before we put it in the crock pot?" And the mom said, "I don't know. That's the way my mother always did it." And so next time she saw her mother, she was in a nursing home at this time, and she asked her, she said, "Mom, I have a question. I love your roast. I use your recipe. Been using it for years. My daughter uses it. But a question has come up about cutting the ends off the roast. Why do we cut off the ends of the roast?" And she said, "I don't know why you do it, but that's the only way I could get it in the pot." Well, you can just do things because that's why we've always done it and not really understand why you do it. It will stick with our children much more and much better if they can actually see and appreciate why, rather than just having been told that. Again, I'm not taking away from the idea that we need to tell them we do that because the Bible says so. But when we can show them, and when they are able to appreciate it with their own minds and their own reasoning, it will be much more substantive to them. They need to see and understand it with their own eyes. If you think about the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip came to him, he took him where he was, at the verses where he was, and he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And there are many opportunities in life where we can take our children where they are and at that place preach to them Jesus and help them see and appreciate the very scriptures before their own eyes. Regular home Bible study and opportunities to discuss are essential attributes or qualities to the home environment that we ought to be establishing so that we can rear mature, faithful Christians. And then thirdly and finally, establish an environment where all aspects of Christianity are real. They're real. Here is some of the feedback. "My parents prayed with us all the time we lived at home. Neither of them were afraid of us seeing them pray and rely upon a life of prayer. Another, both of my parents practiced what they preached. I never once thought of them as hypocrites because when one of them messed up, they would bring it to our attention and ask for our forgiveness. My parents taught me that life happens and you just have to get back up, ask for forgiveness, and keep moving. Another said, living their lives as active Christians, participating in leadership roles, and participating in church activities on a regular basis. It was real. Another said, they created teachable moments. Both parents would point out things in certain situations and would relate them to Christian principles. We don't act that way because the Bible says this. We don't go to these places because God wants us to. We don't dress this way because God would consider it immodest, etc. Another said to the question, these last two, to the question, what more could have been done? Listen, faithful home environments, faithful children, being more strict about where we went and what we were involved in. Parents today can be terrified of telling their kids no and depriving their kids of social activities that they feel like they might need. But on the other side, a child who has navigated the battlefield of life, looking back, says, it could have done more. It could have been more strict about not letting us go to places or being involved in things that we shouldn't. And then the last one says, not becoming as busy with other things in this world, but maintaining our focus upon God always. Real. Not hypocritical. Not pretending, not stage playing. Establish an environment where all aspects of Christianity are real. Prayer. Jesus' disciples on one occasion asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. We ought to teach our children to pray and encourage them to trust in God with respect to the things that they ask of him. Always help others, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. These individuals recollected and remembered and recalled parents who were involved in the work of the church, not just connected to it from a distance, always helping others, modeling humility and repentance. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter said that we're to be clothed with humility because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Don't be the parent who is so prideful that you or I can't acknowledge or will not acknowledge when we've messed up or when we've done wrong. They need to see it real. They need to see a willingness and an ability to own wrong, to own mistakes, and to repent, because that's how they learn to own their own mistakes and their own wrongs and to repent of them. And then keeping it real, establish meaningful moral boundaries. Now think of Matthew chapter 23, verse 3, where Jesus says of the religious leaders of his day, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. I know you don't want to be the parent that the children look at and say, what he or she says is good, but what they do is not. We, not just the preacher, but we as Christians and parents need to practice what we preach. Now, not be hypocritical. It needs to be real. Establish an environment where all aspects of Christianity are real. Establish regular home studies and biblical discussion. Establish the importance of worship service attendance and participation in all activities and matters relative to the church and the local congregation. You know, a preacher may preach in a congregation where every member in the congregation is, say, 60, 70 years or older. And his work would primarily be to minister to and to serve those that he was working with. You might be in a situation, much like I am here at Roanoke, where the age range is from newborn all the way to senior ages. And we have a great focus and concentration in this congregation of younger families with little children and young children. It would be foolish for us not to recognize the stewardship of that responsibility and do everything we can as a congregation, me as the preacher included, to help everybody but these young families and these young children. I want to make sure that in the very best way I possibly can, that I put before all of us, really, but primarily this morning at least, those who have young children, the importance of what you're doing, and that you only get one shot with each one of them at it. And if I can constantly remind you of that and keep that before you, then I want to do that because I want to be a part of making and helping you to be successful as a Christian parent, so that one day, as you have trained up your children in the way that they should go, hopefully, prayerfully, with a lot of work, they will not depart from it when they are older. And that's our goal. I don't know of anything this morning relative to parenting more important than that. There's one other comment that I saved relative to this. One person said, I do not know of anything that would have made my nurturing environment even better. Wouldn't it be great if we could work together as a congregation, as families, and help one another to the point that we rear children that one day, if they're asked, what one thing could your parents have done, or what one thing about your nurturing environment could have been done to help you even more, that they can look back and say, you know, the congregation where I worked and worshiped was so concerned about me, and my parents were so in tune to their responsibility to rear me up in the way that I should go, and all of that worked together so well, I can't think of one thing that could have been done to make it any better. That's a goal worth having. And that's a goal worth shooting for and striving for. As a congregation, as we are blessed with the stewardship of so many young people, but also in our families. And I hope this morning that I've challenged you and provided some things for you to think about relative to being a parent and to rearing your children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. May God help us to do our jobs in this regard. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we hope that you will consider obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through faith, repentance, confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God with your mouth and being baptized in water to have your sins washed away, you can become a Christian. Maybe you're an adult this morning who's never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're a parent this morning who's never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're a young person who's not yet taken your life seriously and you're at a point in your life where you should be and you know that you should be taking it seriously. What better way to get on the right footing and the right track this morning than to obey the gospel? What better way as a parent than to getting on the same page with God so you are better equipped and better positioned to teach and train your children in the time that you have before us? You know what your own situations are. We all know our own hearts and our own needs. We have opportunity at the end of this service, as we do each Lord's Day, it's not like cutting the ends off of a roast. It's not just because that's all the way we've always done it. This is a sincere moment of reflection and an opportunity for us to self-assess and examine ourselves and to respond accordingly. If you have a need that we can assist you with, we hope you'll use this opportunity as we stand and sing.